Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to The Brief Dive, where we talk about deep topics for a brief amount of time. Today, we're talking about sports. I got some guests with me. You guys can introduce yourselves.
I'm Ben. I'm 19, a former soccer player.
I'm Mario. I'm 20, a former soccer player as well.
We're just going to talk overall.
Yeah.
What has playing sports, like, how has that affected you mentally, physically, spiritually? You get the idea. How has that affected your life?
I feel like I'll talk a bit longer.
Oh, yeah, no. I think there's a lot to be addressed here.
Yeah.
How sports have affected me. I think it taught me a lot of things. It taught me discipline. It taught me to be early. To be early is to be on time. It taught me that it's a commitment that... I don't know, you want to join in real quick?
I know, I think it also gave me a lot of life lessons as well. Not only just like, you know, being on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, being off the pitch as well gives me a lot of attributes like skills, communicating with a team, you know, being a leader on the team. I think it gave me really good ideas, you know, who I wanted to become as well in some sense. But that's another topic.
Wait, what do you mean?
So like, for instance, like my whole life, I played soccer my whole life, you know. That's like my personality. That's who I was known for. Like, oh, he plays soccer, like, you know. He's the soccer guy. Like, you know, when they would see me on the halls, he'd be like, yo, Mario, how's soccer going and stuff like that. That's what I was always known for.
Do you like that when people do that?
I don't mind it. I mean, because to be fair, that was really my life. Like every day, not every day, but like a week, I'll train 3 times a week and then have games on the weekends, you know? So, or, you know, high school is like every day. High school is every day. So yeah. Imagine you're doing travel and you're doing high school at the same time during the spring. For us, it's in the spring. I know around the world, like around the country, it's in the fall. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know, you're playing sports all year round, you know, travel and high school. It's just insane, you know, playing every day. You have to take care of yourself. In a way, it feels like professional, you know? Professionals, athletes play every day or train every day, at least almost, and have games on the weekends or some days during the week. So, like, I mean, I didn't mind it at all, like, because it's my passion, you know? That's, like, what I was known for. And it led me through a lot of, like, good lessons in life and bad lessons, too.
Like what?
Good lessons, like... I'd say like probably more good lessons. Like for instance, one of my stories I have is like, we're playing, I think it was my junior year. I'm pretty sure. Junior year playing the quarterfinals of the State Cup.
Travel?
Yeah, travel. So, mind you, like I had never told someone like this story to anyone. My mom knows cause she was there at that game that day. So, you know, it's State Cup quarterfinals. Like mind you, we were losing. We were losing, like, I think it was, like, 1-3. We came back. I think it ended up becoming 3-3. Went to extra time. It went back and forth. They scored a goal, and then we scored a goal. I remember one of those goals being, like, I could have saved it in my head. I'm just, like, being so down on myself. But, like, in that moment, like, you got to, like, pass forward. You know, you got to go through it, you know, because you're still in the game.
Was that a pun? Pass forward?
Yeah. But at the end, yeah, we go with PKs. PKs are very, like, nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
This was my first time actually taking it in a high-scoring game, in a high, like, important game. You know, of course, I volunteered. Like, I wanted to be up there with the guys. I wanted to take the free kick. I think we ended up going back and forth. I think I was, like, the fifth kicker. And, man, like, so I step up. I'm on you. This day, it's raining. It's snowing. The wind is all over your face. I'm telling you, like, parents had to go into, like, the bathroom stalls to stay warm. That's how like cold it was. No, I'm serious. Like it was.
There was like a temperature to put on. Yeah,
like
that.
I'm serious, man. No, I'm just saying.
But,
like,
10 degrees.
Yeah, no, it was like at least like with the wind, it made it like 20, 30.
Yeah,
it's really cold.
And the rain too. Like it was raining, so like we're all cold, playing extra time. And anyways, I'm in this mindset where like, okay, I know where I'm gonna go. Like I'm gonna hit it, and I'm not gonna think about it. I don't look at the goal at all. I just. Like, I already just picture it in my head. I don't
wait,
look at,
wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, you didn't look at the net.
I didn't look at the net. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, I think I was scared. Oh, okay. Honestly, I think I was afraid of the moment. And sense. When I stepped up, and they scored their penalty. So I needed to score mine to keep us in the game.
Yeah.
And I completely missed the goal. Like, I hit it, like, wide. No, no, it's okay. It's okay. Like, it's funny now thinking about it because I'm like, man, I should have done better that time.
I hit it completely left, and. I just miss it. I swear that day, like, once I missed it, like, I just got on my knees and started crying.
Cause I would feel the same way.
Because I felt so bad for my team. Like, because that year, we were actually really good.
And I'm not laughing at you. He said you suck. No, because I have a moment like that that I, no, I everyone has a haunting moment.
No, yeah, definitely. That's definitely one of my haunting moments. And it haunts me for a couple of years. And so I took a PK again because I was scared. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. But like, yeah, that moment I just cried. And I went on my knees and I started crying. Because so, I missed sad. It. And it's quarterfinals, you know. Like, our team was really good. I think that year, later on that year, we ended up becoming like the second or third top team in the country. And not in the country, in the state. Yeah, so for us, like, we could have won that State Cup. That could have led us to more opportunities. But since I missed it, I don't know. I felt really bad. And, you know, like, obviously I felt horrible. Because, like, as an athlete and, like, especially playing, like, those high games, like, high important games, you judge your performance, like, your happiness on your performance. I don't know if, like, if you've ever had that, but...
Yeah, especially you know, with, like, your commitment, too.
Yeah, like, with my commitment, like, I'm a very dedicated person. Like, if we're attacking, I'll run 100 yards to attack. If we're defending and we lose the ball, like, I'll run 100 yards back.
Brexit tackles, too.
Nah, man, I had to play it smart.
He got Brexit tackles.
like, that was the type of player I was. And, like, I think that's what I was, like, kept me on the field. I was not the most fastest. I wasn't the most skillful. But my dedication to run 100 yards back and to attack...
That's hard.
It's hard. It is. And that's what my coach, like, always told me. He was like, you know, the reason why you play a lot is because you dedicate yourself to run 100 yards back and 100 yards to attack. You know? So.
Dang.
Yeah. For me, sports, for mental health, it's very, like, up and down. It has its ups and downs. Even as, like, a professional athlete. Like, for instance, what was it? I was watching a couple of days ago. You know, Thierry Henry?
Yeah.
I was watching his podcast. Not his podcast, but it was, like, an interview or something, like, then we're asking him, like, when did you know you were done? Like, you couldn't run no more. And so he told this, like, little quick story about, like, his daughter where, like, his daughter came up to him and was, like, tagger it, and Henry couldn't move. Aww. Like, that's how he said he knew he couldn't, like, play anymore professionally.
Dang.
And, like, he said, like, after he retired, he felt like it was, like, a new world he was going into because he dedicated his whole life to sports. It was like he had to become someone after sports. Like, who are you when you're not playing soccer or football, mm-hmm. whatever you may call it?
Yeah.
And, you know, they just talked about how difficult it was because they don't prepare him for the outside world.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I definitely feel like that too as well. Like, who is Mario without soccer or football? That's a very hard question to ask because I dedicated my whole life to it.
That's
interesting. Yeah, it's a good concept to think about it.
So, like, sometimes, like if you're injured, that means those times when you're injured, you get, like, really confused.
Yeah, I mean, even right now, actually, speaking about it, I'm injured right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
I actually tore my ACL, unfortunately, playing soccer. So, at this moment, like, so this moment is really just kind of a moment to, like, figure out who I am. Who is Mario Alvarez without playing soccer, you know? And that's a very hard question to still talk about.
Like, I'm not saying it's good that you're injured, but I'm saying, like, sometimes it takes moments like that to, like...
To really find yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. So, like, that's why I said, like... And it's okay, like, to not know who you are. Like, you're still finding your way. You're still young. And that's totally okay. Like, you don't have to rush yourself to figure out who you want to become. Because you have plenty of time as well. Understand that.
Yeah. I feel like... I didn't go play college soccer, but you came back from that. I feel like... A lot of players go through this thing where, like you said, they dedicate their lives to playing and then they get injured and then their college just moves on and they're on to find, like, the next player. And that's really hard, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Especially, like, mentally and emotionally because you've been working so hard your whole life and that's also a life lesson that sports teach you. Like, you get mm-hmm, what you sure. put into it.
100%.
So that can be applied to anything. So this is really hard when something that's out of your control.
But the real question is... Don't let it knock you down forever.
Yeah.
As my mom always said, like, it's okay to be sad for one day, but the next day you got to step it up. You got to go get back in your routine. You got to be someone.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's an external thing. Like, it's not in your control to get injured.
No, I know that. Yeah, that's the very hard part because it's not in your control. It's not like you could have done something, you know. It just happened, unfortunately. It's an unfortunate event.
Yeah.
Like, in this moment, like, I got hurt. It wasn't like I messed myself up. Like, I got hurt because, unfortunately, I was tackled the wrong way.
You're just mad at the situation, not yourself.
Yeah, I was not mad at myself. It was just such, like, an unfortunate an event. You know, I'm away. Like, I was away for college. I wasn't here in the state that we're in. I was in another state, and like, mind you, like, I'm far away. Like, I had to fly home.
Wait, where was it again? You don't have to say it out loud. I forgot which state.
Illinois. Illinois. Yeah, I mean, don't matter. I was in Illinois for college.
Okay.
So, and I played a year, almost about a year. So I played only a season. I still got the opportunity to play a lot, even as a freshman. Maybe not the most minutes. Like, I had, like, another freshman had a lot more minutes than me.
It's hard to get time in college.
Oh, it is, 100%. But, like, it just, you know, depends per coach. It depends, you know, how hard you train. And, you know, like, I'm not the type of player to be, like, pissed if I don't get, like, selected to play in the starting lineup. I'm like, it's okay, like, another day. Like, I'm going to keep training me, and I'm going to come, you know, still work hard. I have to work harder than the ones who are starting. So, and I did. I eventually got my time, and, you know, I stepped up to the plate. And I did get a lot of minutes at the end, towards the end of my season. Yeah, so, like, it was a great opportunity, like, honestly. But, like you said, like, after I got hurt, took a big turn in my life. I'm just, like, frustrated because, like, I'm away from home. Like, I got hurt. This is one of my mom's biggest worries, and, like, it came true, you know? Like, your mom never wants to see you hurt.
Yeah.
It's just a very frustrating moment in my life, especially, like, now, even too. Like, I'm still trying to recover and come back. I think it's been about, what, 8 or 9 months from my surgery?
Till or from?
From my surgery.
Oh. For me, I had a haunting goal. It was my senior night.
Oh,
and then I got a lot of playing time, enough. I kept hitting shots, missed. And then one time I just got subbed in, threw a ball, happened. I ran, and it was like a bounce to my left foot. I don't know. But all my family was there. All my friends were there. Everyone was there. And you know how they're like recorded on
VHS? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I missed, and that like that killed me. Like, I did not, like, everyone always wanted to have a goal where you, like, score with your family.
Yeah.
You're going to
go. Yeah, 100%.
But I thought that was the goal, and then I missed. And everyone was just like, oh, you can hear the audience.
Did you get clipped?
Like, yeah, I got clipped. I got clipped so many times. You know, I got hit in the face.
No,
20
I mean, like, miles. I mean, like in the video.
Wait, did someone clip your kick?
Yeah. My friend posted on his story. He didn't say you could have easily. He was like, oh, just, like, so close.
Dang. Still, but, like,
I don't know.
That's tough, man.
I also got clipped. I got hit with the ball like 20 miles per hour.
Oh, that's not fun.
I didn't know what team it was, probably because I got hit in the face 20 miles per hour.
Did you get a concussion?
No, I got tested. Normally, I'm not good at walking in a straight line, so it wasn't really helpful.
Oh, man.
But
did you walk in the straight line then?
I don't think I was.
That injury might have helped.
But, yeah, that was pretty bad. How about you, though? You to talk.
About what? Sorry.
Like, what did he learn from sports? What has that taught you?
Yeah, what did you learn?
Like I said, it's what you put into it, you get out of it. And like, the mental side affects you a lot.
Oh, 100%.
A lot.
Sure.
Like, I feel like if you go to a soccer game, you're not gonna, like, for a regular person, you're not gonna be thinking about, oh, this player might be going through something. Like, they just look at your performance and they say, oh, you're bad, or oh, you're good.
Yeah.
And I went to high school with Mario, and we started playing soccer in middle school together. So he's seen everything. He's seen from me playing just for fun, like pickups. He's seen me play in games that matter. And he can tell you that he's seen a difference. Like, there's been a huge difference.
There's a big difference. Like, when you're playing an important game, like an actual, like, you know, 11v11, then, like, a pickup on the side. The pressure is unbelievable. Like, and maybe, like, yeah, high school is not all that. But still, like, you still want to win, you know? You're in that competitive atmosphere. You want to win.
Yeah.
You want to make a name for yourself. At least that's what I think, personally.
Yeah. No, but it was really easy to play with, like, you know, a group of friends. Play for fun. Nothing's on the line. And so, you know, you take more risks. And that's something I failed to do, playing at a more serious level. So
taking more risk?
Yeah. Because I always, even though I would practice something and I wouldn't struggle with it. When it came to the game time, it was like I was doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So
I got you.
That destroys your confidence as well. If you don't have confidence, it's so hard to succeed in any sport.
The pressure is real. Like, oh my God, the pressure is so real.
I know, like, mid players that are just good, like, test takers are good, like, performance wise. But, like, I know really good players that are just trash when it comes to, like, playing in high pressure situation.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that probably was me.
I'm not good at high. Like, how do you guys deal with, like, performance?
I was just about to ask that too.
Anxiety. I'm, like, not good.
You're not good
with
at it.
That, like,
yeah, me neither.
I just wait until the game passes.
So, for example, if you guys were to go to, penalty kicks, would you step up and take one?
Yeah, I would. I would. Only just to, prove to myself that I could.
Yeah, that's the point. That's how you build confidence. Yeah.
Game winning, though? I don't know.
What about you?
I would say, for me, I would just say straight up, if I were to go back in time, I would just tell myself, play like nothing's on the line. It doesn't matter. Play like you're playing with your friends.
But would you still step up to take a PK?
What do you mean? When?
A high-pressure game.
A high-pressure game, yeah. I think I would.
Everyone's watching. Family's watching.
We would take PKs, and you would do pretty good during practices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you were pretty good.
That's the thing. I could be doing good in practices and everything, but
when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I just crumble under pressure.
I'm the same way.
You know, but I have actually, a redeem story. You remember, were you there, or did you already leave?
I quit the team twice. Yeah. Twice?
I think it was once.
I think I quit. Yeah, I quit the team once.
When we played the playoffs against Justice.
Were you there? Yeah, bro, I was so blown.
Oh my god. So we took my senior year? Yeah, it was my senior year. We were playing districts and we were playing the best team because technically we were the lowest. But we ended up going to penalty kicks again. So it was crazy because we went to full time and then extra time. I think we went to golden goal as well.
Dang.
And then we played PKs. And I think this was the first time I took a PK since the incident happened at State Cup. So this was a moment to really prove myself. Can I step up to the pressure? Can I save my team? You know, same scenario again. My friend before had just missed it. Completely missed it. It was pretty bad. And so the next person for their team scored it. So this is the same pressure. I had to score to keep us in the game. So I step up. I remember looking at the crowd because there was a crowd there, a bunch of people trying to distract you. I'm talking about a lot. It was very loud.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were actually, Hispanic people. So they were, talking in Spanish. So I knew exactly what they were saying. This guy was tall. He was a basketball player. He was, just as tall as the goalpost and wide, tall and wide. So if you know, Courtois, just like that. Damn. Like that soccer player. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to go left again. I'm going to hit it left. I remember, taking a breath in that moment. I'm okay, I practiced this. This is my redeem story. And I'm, building up the confidence. I look down. I take two or three steps back, and I take a left. I go to the left two times, or I step two times to the left. That's my stance. Yeah. You know how you have the
back three, left two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's like that. And I take it. And last minute, I change my mind. Because I see him going. I already see him leaning to go to the side I was going to go. And I hit it right down the middle, perfect. Perfect enough to fake it that I was going left. And he dove left, and I made it right through the middle to keep my team alive.
Yo.
But then, unfortunately, our keeper had to save it. But we end up losing, and the guy ended up scoring the PK for them to win the game. Mine was to keep us in the game, but the goalie needed to save us again to keep us, in the game still. And I think he hit it top right, just a perfect PK. And that's how we lost the beginning of the districts. And that team ended up winning the whole district.
For me, when I'm in those situations, I just wait till it's over. I'm not really good with when I'm getting ready for a game. Music doesn't help. Whenever people talk to me, it's just you're not there. Sorry.
Is your heart beating and stuff? Do you get really nervous?
It normally goes to my stomach. I just use the bathroom so much, or I'm drinking water. And what helps me is just okay, no matter whether I'm playing or not, the game is going to go on. The minutes are going to pass. And that's what helps me. And the second I play, my brain shuts off. I forget about what I did at practice. My goal is just to play.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just me.
Yeah, 100%. When you step in the game, it's just a whole different world for 90 minutes. You just focus on that game.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it. That's honestly why I love it. Because, I can forget about my problems, what's going on with relationships, and stuff like that.
To some extent, for me, I'm just scared. But for practice, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Practice? Yeah,
practice. I agree. I feel like I can relate to that.
Practice, well. I'm chilling.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind both. I don't know. I just enjoy playing it as much as I can.
The game is just, for me, you said, my brain just shuts off. It's I've never done this before. I've never taken a shot before.
So you get nervous.
Yeah. I just get nervous. Like nothing helps. No music.
You know,
nothing.
For like I think the past like 3 years of my high school year, like think from freshman year to, I think junior year, I really did struggle a lot with confidence. So like I would forget, like not forget, but I would just be really nervous, because I'm like, okay, I would be so hard on myself, and like that was just definitely not the way to go. You know, confidence is a big key, especially like performing. But like, how do I like, I guess handle, like. I guess with the pressure of like starting a game, stuff. Like I get nervous still. Like to this day, like I'll get nervous even when like I'm playing just like a pickup. I get nervous to my stomach. But then like exactly what you guys said, like you just switch on, like on the field. Oh, I switch on. That's what my coach always says. Switch on. Like you know, you're a different player now.
You switch on. We switch off. I switch off. Yeah, bro. I wish I could just like play the same way I was playing like pickup.
I definitely think that my senior year, like I gained a lot more confidence. Like I was just a different player.
You think soccer, like, confidence took into your, like, real-life confidence?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Most definitely.
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 And it's, you know, I think it really helps, too.
Why are you laughing?
Wait, like, it's like you've seen him, like, evolve.
No. I mean, I agree for myself, too, because, you're surrounded by all these players, your teammates, and a lot of the times, it's not a good environment. You have to be pretty lucky to get a full team of good teammates.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That have grace when you mess up, that have patience. But I felt like a lot of the times I had teammates that would get on me, that would get on each other. And like if you messed up, like they wouldn't want to like be your training partner.
Like, by any chance, like would your coach say anything about that? Would he address it to you guys?
Yeah, but it would just continue.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause
like I remember we had to do sprints every single time, like something like that happened, but it just kept going.
Really?
Yeah.
Like for instance, my coach, shout out Coach Mike, he was very serious. I'm serious, bro. Like, he was, like, he didn't want a team. He always told me, he's like, I never wanted a team that's toxic. Because once the toxic environment starts, then your team can never, like, perform well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he was so, like, big on that. Like, my coach Mike, like, for real, he was, like, one of my role models, honestly. Like, I think it's such a big, important thing to have a coach that believes in you, 100%.
Yeah,
I've had coaches that did not believe in you.
Exactly.
Dude, I remember, oh my goodness, going into 8th grade, I think this travel coach, literally told the people who were watching at trials, don't pick this kid to be on your team, bro.
No way.
Yeah, I'm so
was
serious.
It to you or like, no, he was just a random kid?
He was talking to the coaches, the coaches that were watching the tryouts, because he wasn't coaching.
Really?
I don't know. But yeah. Yeah, I still remember.
That's what I'm saying. Like, having a coach, like, having your coach believe in you is such a big, like, boost to your confidence.
I've had a coach that does not believe in me, and that, like...
Yeah, me too. Nah. I trained really hard, you know? And I had to fight for it my senior year, which is crazy.
Why? Because,
like, I don't know. I don't, honestly don't know. I fought so hard for it. And I think that's when I finally came in. I'm like, all right, you know what? I think I'm going to try this, like, left and right back position and defend. Because I could defend as well.
Oh, you were forward before.
I was a winger.
That's the thing. Like, a lot of, like, even Gareth Bale, he started out like a left back.
Yeah.
And he turned into, like, what, a right wing?
Yeah. I started as, like, a left and right wing. Then just at my senior year, I transferred back as, like, a left wing back, a right wing back. So I go up and down constantly. So I think it was, like, I don't know if you know any left backs or right backs in the world. Do you know any, like, professional athletes?
Professional.
Like Carvajal or
he's getting a quiz now.
Yeah,
it's my turn to get a quiz.
Oh man,
no, I'm not good with like players.
That's all good. But like, yeah,
it's getting cut out.
But yeah, it's just I don't know. And at the end, like I played a couple games towards the end of the season, and I ended up getting like what was it? I ended up award, honorable mention, in the district, just from like 4 or 5 games.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Just from 4 or 5 games. And if I could play more, like, I think I would have got, like, the first or second team.
I feel like I did play you now. I don't know. I'm starting to see
that's what I'm thinking. Like, I swear we could have played together, but I'm, like, I don't know.
Oh, no. Wait, did you make it last year?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, before you graduated, like, junior
year? Your junior year?
No.
Okay, that's the thing, so no, yeah, because he's older than us.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm older by 1 year.
Yeah.
Oh, so you probably saw someone similar to me?
Probably.
I quit the team before I got to play you.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Would you like to care to share why you quit the team?
That has to do with the faith aspect to it.
Really?
I don't know if you want to get into that right now. Or
you wanted to like focus more on something more important.
Yeah, I mean, so the reason why I quit is because it wasn't just one certain thing. Faith is a part of it,
another part of it was, like we were just talking about, the pressure. And a lot of times the team, like, for me, I felt like they were just groups. Like, groups
of a couple people. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. They would trash talk behind your back. And that would destroy your confidence, because if you legit mess up, like,
they'd be on your
head. They have all the right to say that you messed up. But it doesn't help you. It doesn't help your confidence. So I felt like that was a huge thing. And I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. Now, the faith aspect to it was, I didn't, like Mario said, during the season, this was every day. This was every day practicing, every day after school, games, like on Fridays, throughout the week. And also before my senior year, I was playing travel. So that was practice on top of practice.
Yeah.
So I had no time to serve. And that's what was really on my heart my senior year, was serving. Yeah, I really wanted to serve. I had no time for that.
That's fair.
So that's why,
yeah,
like, I quit.
I feel like as you go higher up in the leagues, like I said this in another video, check it out right here, hopefully it's up here, as you go higher up, it becomes less fun, and it just becomes more competitive.
Yep. Definitely, and like, especially when I play in college, oh my god, the pressure, like, is so real.
The games are more black and white.
Oh, it is, 100%. Yeah. Like, I swear, every time I step on the field, like, as a sub, like, I'm gassed so quick, because, like, I'm playing against grown men, mind you. Like, they could be, like, from the range from 18 from all the way to like maybe 24, 25, 26, you know.
Dang.
However late it could be, you know, because they could still play.
Really?
As long as they're a full-time student, they could still play.
Dang. What if they...
Yes, so I could go to college like at 28 and play against like 19-year-olds.
If you have the time, I'm pretty sure it works like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
The eligibility, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, but I think it's like that.
Have you seen like those scandals, or not scandals, but those people who be lying about their age? I know it's a very, very common thing in Africa where they lie about their age to like get better opportunities.
Oh yeah.
Like they'd be like, I remember Manasi was talking about it actually. How he would play soccer, and then other people would also compete with him, but they would be like 20 and lying that they're in high school.
That's crazy. You know, I heard about that, you know, back in like high school, like back in the older days, people would like, older people would play. Like for instance, you know, like people like that come in late or like from a different country, they'd be a year back, they'd be like 19 and still playing in high school leagues.
Not, but they stopped that.
Yeah, they did stop that. Yeah,
we have a friend that tried to join the team.
Yeah, he
came from a different country.
Yeah,
he's too old.
I know someone that's dealing with it. Never mind. But I remember, I know I've had a lot of people talk smack behind my back on a team, and every wrong move you make, like even like if it's a wrong step over wrong this, like you just think about it, and then they always have a friend group like watching too, and you can hear them in the back, and it's really annoying.
That was so hard for me, like, especially going into like the faith. Like, I felt like there was a huge turning point in my faith, like that was my senior year. But it's like, before I came to like before I came to this faith, I'll be fine with retaliating, I'll be fine with like talking back to them, like
100%.
But later on, like let's say my senior year, like I couldn't do that, because now you are representing Christ. If you're a believer, you're gonna follow what Christ commands, and we're not gonna go and retaliate.
100%, yeah.
So that made it so much harder, because you know I had to like resist not getting at them.
The negativity.
Yeah. So that was really hard for me.
That's not. I mean, I've had coaches that also weren't. I remember going up to the coach. I was like, "Yo, like." A lot, like, the team isn't working because I think no one's, like, communicating. People are just screaming at each other.
Yeah, 100%.
And I've been in the sidelines before where people just, like, would just talk smack.
You know, like, there was a time where at practice, we're cool now, but this is just, like, at that time, we were, like, really mad. And he got really, like, the player that was, like, group, you know, we're attacking, defending, and I marked him up or whatever. And, you know, I got a little aggressive. Nothing, like, crazy, nothing dirty. But he got really pissed. And were you there that day at practice?
If you tell me his name, I'll probably...
I can't name drop right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're cool now, so it doesn't matter. But, and, like, he completely didn't go for the ball. He knew what exactly he was doing. He, like, tackled me. And I got so mad. Like, I don't think we were going to fight, but, like, I got really mad. And I texted the coach that, like, later that day, and I was like, hey, like, so-and-so is not really, like, being a part of the team. He's, like, constantly, like, being toxic, you know. I really don't like it, and I really don't appreciate it. And I texted that to my coach, and he just never responded to that message. I don't even think he really did anything or even cared about it.
Yeah, that's a big thing with coaches. Like, they don't address things that they should.
Or sort it out, at least.
Huh?
Or sort it out.
Yeah. Yeah, they would just let things slide. That's what
kind of blew me too, because if they came up to the coach and told him the same thing, they would have a different reaction.
Yeah, 100%.
They'd kick you off the team. Yes, it is
bias. Ton of bias in sports.
Yeah.
The biggest lesson I learned in sports was like, at least in my team, no matter how like disrespectful you can be, if you're good, you're going to be put on.
Yeah.
Like, you can be the nicest player, but like, he's still not going to put you on.
Yeah, that's why I say like, you get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
That is true. I think, but it also depends, you know, because for instance, when I went to college, my coach was very serious about training and about grades and stuff. We had a player who was really good. He was a midfielder. He was really good, but he didn't play at all because first, he didn't pass the fitness test. And second, he would train really good still. But since he never wanted to take the fitness test, and he never really cared, so I think him lacking discipline too. But also, it was his senior year too, to be fair. He never
What's
really
the name for it called, like when seniors get lazy?
Senioritis.
Senioritis, yeah. So he just didn't care, like really care too much. But it's just, I think it also depends per coach as well. How you, like, well, at least for that coach specifically, he's like, if you don't put in the work, you're not going to play. Same for me. Like, I, at first, like, honestly, I didn't pass the fitness test. I think I should have been better prepared, but I didn't pass. But it doesn't mean I didn't work hard to, like, pass the test. He said if I didn't pass the test, I was not going to play. And luckily, you know, my dedication, my hard work, we ended up taking the test again, and I passed it. Got a perfect score on it. The highest I can get. Which was great. But, oh, my God, I almost was about to throw up. Like, you know, I'm so serious. It was, like at least a couple of us, at least, like, 9 or 10 of us. And, I'm like, I tell you, like, I think, like, 2 of them threw up after we were done.
Wow.
Like, puking.
That was my weakness. That was my biggest weakness. I hated conditioning.
Condition is so crazy, especially in college. That takes so much discipline. Oh, my God. The atmosphere. Like, even if I was playing a D3 soccer, and that atmosphere was insane. I remember a guy subbed down once, not late in the game, but I think like midway in the game, second half. And we were playing against the number one team at that moment on the league. And man, how they moved the ball and how like we were just constantly defending. But like I was just constantly running. It was like we were learning how to shift from one side to the other side quick as possible. And like when you watch it, you don't think it's as fast. But when you're in the game, it's so fast. I can't imagine how it is for professional athletes.
You know what I heard? Like, I had coaches, like, foreign coaches, like, I forgot this dude. But they were professional. This dude from, I don't know where, but in Africa. This other coach from, like, Australia, I think. He said that people here in America run like crazy. That it's not like how they used to play. Like, they wouldn't run like that. Like, they save their energy. They play with their... They use their heads more than, like, physical. I feel like that's true.
That is true.
That's true. Like, here in America, people run like crazy, bro.
It's more physical here in America than it is brain. Like, especially in Europe, you have to use your head a lot more.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. It's very more physical here in the U.S. than it is in, like, Europe and stuff.
Isn't that more important, though?
Yes, it is. Oh, not physical. Not being physical. It's about having a brain.
Like being conditioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, like, when we talk about, like, running everywhere, like, constantly just like
it's not really smart.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's
smart.
Not smart to waste your energy, and like compared to like how these Europeans play, like they use their mind, like they make these shapes so that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, 100%. And they also like trust their players though. It's a lot about trusting as well.
And that was also a big thing. Like you could literally be open for the ball, and they won't pass to you because they don't trust you.
Yeah,
that destroys your confidence.
That is 100%.
That destroys your confidence so much, man. And it gets you mad, too.
Yeah, it does get you mad.
It gets you mad.
And when they do pass it, like, it's
you,
like...
Then you're not ready for it, you know? I feel like that happened a lot with you, too. Like, they would pass you the ball, and I feel like when I would see you, you'd just be kind of, like, lost in some sense.
Yeah, man.
My best way was, like, I feel like Benji was kind of, like, you know, you were lost in that mind, like, in that space you had. He's like, I saw you kind of, like, confused, in my sense, at least. That's, like, at least what I got. And I'm sure, like, I wasn't the only one. Like, if I was thinking it, then I'm sure, like... Other people were thinking it.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a team, right? And there's only like 3 players. They're like, they probably have their own group chat. I don't even know. But they're like really, really close. And it's like a left wing, right wing, and a striker. Like, they just pass to each other.
Like,
or something.
Like
passing. Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's also like, when you're on a team, there's like groups in the team. You know what I'm talking about? Like social groups.
Yeah.
So you have like these couple people being together all the time, and another set of couple people being together all the time. I feel like that happened a lot. Like, not only just, like, in high school, but also in, like, travel and stuff. You see it all the time.
To travel, too?
Yeah, and travel, too. You see it all the time.
And that
even, like, in college, too. Like, yeah, we're all close. Don't get me wrong. But, like, there's still, like, social groups. Like, people you hang out with more of the time than other people.
What do you guys think about that? I don't think that's good. I mean, okay, you can have friends that, like, you're closer with. But to, like, exclude someone from, like, being involved in a game or not passing to them or having your own little plan, I think that's kind of messed up.
I feel like that's a big thing also. Like, for me, I felt like I was excluded from a lot. Because I didn't, like, also tying into faith. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, these group of people would talk about. I wouldn't want to be part of their conversation alone. So I myself would kind of isolate myself from that. But at the same time, like,
what do you do in that situation? You know, you're kind of like, if you isolate yourself, you're not going to be really with the team.
And exactly. Doesn't yeah. really build so it was anything. It was tough.
Yeah, it was a tough it's decision. Tough. I see.
It's tough.
I think anywhere you go, no matter where you go, like, you can be at a job, it could be at a church, it could be anywhere at school. You'll always, like, you know, you can have a big friend group, but there will always will be groups within that big friend group. You know, so like, I mean, I think it's just kind of normal in a way. Like, yeah, it's not good, but like, I don't think there's a real answer to it. So, like, what do you do in this scenario? You know?
What would I do? Because I've been excluded a lot. Okay, I did one thing, but that was not going to work. I remember speaking to someone in the team, but they didn't... It did not work. You just did not listen. But what I would do... I don't know. I would just keep playing. There's not much you can do. I remember speaking to a coach. Coach didn't really do anything. Speak to
someone in charge. See, that's the thing, though. It depends per coach. Like I said, like, back to my travel coach. My coach was so serious about us being a family together. Even if we had two teams, he wanted the whole, like, team to be involved. He didn't want, like, there to be groups or exclude players. He was a very, like, at the end of the, like, you know, at the training session, we'd be, like, familia on three, which means family, obviously, in Spanish, if anyone didn't know that. But, like, that's why I say, like, I think it depends per coach. I'm just so fortunate enough to have a coach that cared about that and that cared about the environment they were in. And he, if he saw anyone being toxic, straight away he'd pull them out and talk to them. And if they didn't get it sorted, they just want to play. Simple as that. Like, my coach had a vision and what he wanted to build. And he kept his word to that. And that's something, like, you really don't see between coaches. You know, I played what? I think I played 2 or 3 teams before my coach. And definitely the best coach I ever had in my life. Even when I even went away for college, the best coach I still have to this day. Damn. And the closest one.
I want to see your coach in college.
My coach in college was pretty good too, not gonna lie. He was Polish, but he was born here, but he was very dedicated to sport. But he was a good coach, but my coach for youth or travel, best coach I ever have, hands down.
I never experienced that.
I know, and that's so sad for a lot of players. Not having a coach that believes in you. It is annoying, exactly. That's why I say it's so important to have a coach that believes in you. Because if you don't have a coach that doesn't believe in you, like, how are you going to perform, you know? That's like, it makes you feel worse. Like, you not having people to trust in you, especially your coach. And it's such a satisfying thing to hear. Nice work, Benji. Good job, Benji. Nice turn, Benji. Like, stuff like that. That gasses you up and builds your confidence to go higher. Yeah. And my coach did that. And he also implemented it in our team. Our whole team would say it too, not just our coach. And I remember going up to him and everybody asking him, like, coach, what can I do to get more playing time? What can I do to be a better player? How can I fight for my position? And he would just give me this advice. And I remember going, like, sometimes after practice, I'm like, coach, you know, what did you see today from me? I know you see everyone else. Well, what can I specifically do to get better? And, you know, he would take his time out of his day. Even we would practice at night. So I'm like, we're getting out like a 10. And he'll still, like, talk to me for a good, like, 20, 30 minutes, just giving me advice. And like I said, it's, like, so important to have a coach that believes in you.
I was just watching a show last night. It was pretty ironic. Two coaches. One coach was, like, rude, and the other one was just nice. And then the team responded well because with a nice coach, obviously. But he was just like, no one should be coddled. No one should be treated like a baby. You're not going to be, you know, how are we going to toughen him up? And then the other dude was just like the opposite. He was just like, you know, maybe, like, give him some affirmation.
Oh, that's
like,
a good nice idea. Let me tell you a little story. Like, same thing. My coach actually told me about this. We were talking about it. So I think it was, like, the 05s coach. Very mean coach. He was not a mean coach, but, like, he would, like, clown you. He had a British accent. He was a British accent. But he would clown you. He'd be, like, cursing at you as well. You know, saying a bunch of, like, what is that? You know, beeping touch and stuff like that. You know? And my coach really did not like that because he would tell me, he's like, man, that just builds a negative environment. He's like, for me, I give love because it's better to have a loving environment than have a bad environment. Exactly. Because, like with that loving environment, it helps build the team, and helps also like give examples like that, you know, I'm being loving. It's like, I guess like skill traits as well. You don't have to be serious. You don't have to curse at someone to get your point straight. My coach gave you love, but if you took it for granted, of course, then he's going to be on you and he's going to pull you to the side and it's going to be settled one way or another. So like, that's what my coach said. He like, he didn't like how the 05 was compared how we were, the 03s and 04s was. Mm-hmm. Completely different like environment. And which is true.
What do you think?
I think you can be a good player, but that doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach. I think that. And because they say that they play professional and all that, they think that that's enough, like, that's all you need to be a good coach. But like Mario was saying, you can't be creating this negative environment and expecting your players to, like, especially if you're pouring your everything, you're practicing outside of club practice, like, you can't just be putting negativity out there knowing that this is your player's life, this is what they're working towards, this is their goal, this is their dream. Constant negativity like that is what destroys a player.
100%, yeah, I agree.
I agree too. I mean, there are times where like someone's rude to me and I get better, and there's times where someone's nice to me and I get better. So there's, it depends,
different,
on how I
feel. Difference between being negative and giving you like critical, like not critical, what is the correct word? Like
critical.
No.
I know what the word is.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Oh my God.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah, constructive criticism. That's completely different. That's something like, so I had a my captain. Like I told you, he was very annoying, but that's what made him really good as a captain. That he would be on your butt, but he wouldn't be like, "Oh, you suck. You're so trash." It'd be like, "Hey, you need to get a better touch. Come on, like work on that touch. Come on, Mario." Stuff like that. Like hands down, one of the best like captains I had. And after he left for college, I feel like our team took a big hit. Not having that leadership role, not having someone who's gonna be honest, not the coach, but the player, you know. And what my coach says, it's not like, you know, it's not a coach. It's like not a coach team. It's a team. It's a, what's it called?
Team effort.
Team effort. Or like, the coaching shouldn't be coaching. Like the coach shouldn't be always coaching. It should be the players coaching.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. And that's what my coach wanted. He'd like, figure it out on the field. What can you guys do as a team to figure out these problems? Yes, like my coach didn't talk a lot during the game, because he wanted us to figure it out on the field. During halftime, Dad still gave us advice, but he wouldn't be yelling all the time. He'd tell us, figure it out and see what you can do.
Unless it's like, y'all are down.
Like, I mean, yeah, that's something else. But
yeah.
He's definitely, I don't know.
For, I know in sports, we're going to switch the topic.
Okay.
In sports, there's a slump. You guys can explain. You can explain what slump is.
There you go.
Thank you, Mario. You're probably better at explaining it than I am.
Nah, I think you got.
I look at it, search it up.
Bro, I kind of forgot now. That's why.
I feel like you got to explain it.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. A slump is
it's like a pit where a team has to get out of.
Oh, like when you're like not like performing, and how do you like get over it when your team is not performing, right?
That's tough, you just like, man. For like consistent losses, you just keep losing for some reason.
Yeah, 100%. I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's so hard.
How do you
get
out of a slump? Even if you're in a slump and your team isn't, how do you get out of that?
Have you had any experience?
Sure,
I feel like I've always had like the stories to tell. Cause
I feel like it's different. Like when your team is in a slump, that's so hard. Cause like even if you see in the big leagues, like in La Liga, if your team is in a slump, there's a high chance that they're going to stay that way the whole season.
Oh, my God. I know what you mean, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, I felt like when I was in a slump, like, it's just something I would have to figure out. It wouldn't be, like, someone else there helping me. Like, even if I was training with my team and, like, I wasn't training up to the level that I usually do, they don't really care. Like, they just be like, pick it up. Come on. Pick up your slack. So I think it's easier for a team to get out of a slump than just an individual.
It's like a mind game too.
Yeah,
I think so too. But like, let me tell you, like, so my last year playing like travel, we were in a big like slump, because first we got introduced to a new league. We played ECNL for the first time, which is like the second highest. I think MLS Next is the next level. So we played
now.
Yeah. So ECNL was like the second highest, and I played in the highest league. So mind you, if you were to win the league, you get to go like to, I think, to the playoffs, and if you win the playoffs, go to then like the major tournament, which was in San Francisco. So unfortunately, it was our first time, so we didn't really get it didn't go so well for us playing the first year. or my last year, I guess you could say too. And we were in a slump just for a while, just because we lost players for college. We had to build this whole new team. And I think we finally pick it up towards the spring season, finally. And it just took a while. You know, we went to Florida for a showcase and lost all our games. Dang. It was a showcase, and it was just, it was a great time, but we lost our game. You know, obviously, we want to show off for these coaches who are looking for us. And then to the springtime, we picked it up. And I think that's when I started playing way more confidently, too. We finally got out of the slump. We started winning games. I think we went almost undefeated for the first team. And we got to play playoffs, cooked in the playoffs. Like, we ended up winning the whole thing. We drove to New York to win the whole tournament.
Wait, so what exactly did you guys do to, like, switch 180?
Honestly, I really don't know what it is. Like, I think our mindset just changed. For some reason, I don't know why, but the fall, we always kind of struggle. And then I guess mid-season, like, we pick it up. We train like crazy over the winter. And as a team, collectively, we start playing really good. And I think our dedication to one another, not giving up on one another.
Wait, you train together or separately?
Like, as a team, together, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's what really helped. Like, training together as a team, you know? And we just started winning games, thankfully, playing against really good teams. Like, I think we played against SYC, we played against Arlington. To win the game to go to playoffs was against Arlington. I don't think it was their highest team, but still, Arlington teams were known to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And that game was crazy. I think we ended up winning. It was a hot day. Hot day. I think we ended up winning 2-1. But, like, mind you, I'm getting, like, cooked. I ain't gonna lie. Like, there was this guy on my wing. I'm playing defender, getting cooked. But, like, I'm trying my best. Like, I didn't play the worst, but, like, I think I did the best I could marking that guy. And at the end, we ended up winning. We go to playoffs in New York, and we cooked every team. But you know why? It's because we got a lot of returning players back from college. So that same core group that we had since freshman year came back from my freshman year, because I'm actually held back. So I guess they're sophomore year or whatever. So since that team, they all came back from college, and we just cooked everyone in New York. Like, I'm talking about, like, 5-6 goals per game.
Do you think it was them? I mean, you said training, and then do you think it was, like...
I think also, like, we were adapting new players to the new system. So it took a little bit of them to, I guess, have an understanding of our new system. And I think they end up getting the hang of it towards the end of the season. And bringing up the old players back, I think it just helped increase our ability to play more. And so anyways, we end up going, and let me tell you this one, we end up crushing everyone in New York. We go to West Virginia for the major tournament. So we're playing against State Cup winners, Cincinnati. State Cup winners, I think maybe West Virginia. And I think another State Cup winner was SYC. We lost every single game there. For the first time, we played travel soccer. Like, it was like one of the higher major trophies. So this was like the regional. So if you had won that tournament, you go to nationals, which I think was also in, like, California. And mind you, a lot of players came back from the team as well, from other colleges, from the youth group. And we got crushed. Like, I'm telling you, like, they score from, like, outside the box. They score, like, midway. I'm just like, bro. Yeah. And this is, like, I know. It's crazy. It's so crazy. And, like, I can't believe it. Like, it was the first time I was, like, introduced to a higher environment than the one I was already in against other states. And mind you, like, we're over here giving the eye test, and we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to win this game. We're going to crush it. No, you got crushed, bro. Really bad.
We didn't win what kind of goals they were, huh?
Yeah, like, outside the box. I'm talking about, like, you know, the corner of the box outside?
Yeah,
bangers. Like, bangers. Like, it was so bad. We were getting cooked. Even, like, but you know what else it was? We lost a lot of our core players, too, that went on the New York trip. So I think this year, like, that team was just not the best team that we could have done together collectively. Kind of a toxic environment. I feel like a lot of players just gave up as well. That sucks.
I think something that factors into, you know, like, being in a slump, like, as a team, is other players. Like, there's a standard that has to be met as a team. And that comes from everyone individually putting in their own work.
100%.
When you go to practice, the priority isn't for you, specifically you, to get better. It's for the team to get better. So we're not going to be practicing on one specific thing you're lacking.
Yeah, 100%.
We're going to be practicing something that the team
lacks. Is lacking, yeah.
So you need to come prepared already. Mm-hmm. Your first touch good, conditioning good, or else you're going to bring the team down.
Oh, yeah,
and I think when a team is in a slump, it's because multiple players are not meeting that standard that the team demands from them.
Yeah, I agree. Like, players get selfish sometimes too. They don't think about what the team wants, what the team needs. Like, I know we had players like get mad, like playing positions they like normally don't play. Yeah. But like my coach would be like, "You gotta sacrifice for the team. If you don't sacrifice, we're not gonna win this game." And it comes with a lot of sacrifice as well. You know, what are you willing to sacrifice?
I think a lot of like competitiveness comes with it too. For me, I think you and I are kind of similar with it. As I got older, I became less competitive, and like the game just wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Like I used to love playing for fun, pick up, rec was fun, but the second it just turned to just seriousness, everyone got older. Like, you know, you can't try new things.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah.
So, you're kind of on it like on your own. You're on your own now.
And only thing that makes you continue playing is just that's where like the people who really, really love the game like are left out, and then. Or I don't know how to explain it, but it just sucks when you get older. Yeah. So how is that like?
I think it also depends like how like competitive you want to be. Even if you really love the game, you can also just want to be in a like a competitive environment, you know, in sports. Like there's players that like just play just because they wanted to be in the competitive environment, not just to play for something, you know, not but to play.
There's also players that like just playing. Like for example, Neymar, he's admitted that he doesn't like, you know, the competitiveness like that. He enjoys playing the game more than the competitiveness.
Yeah.
And also you see, like, he's not even that old right now to be, like, playing the way he is. Like, he should have been playing at the same level he was in 2015 and continued to, like, get better and better.
Yeah.
I think he could have maybe been on the same level or even surpassed Messi and Ronaldo.
That's a bold statement.
If he continued, like, if he was disciplined like Ronaldo.
But that's the thing. He wasn't disciplined.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he would be better than Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, okay, but that's what I'm saying. Compare the competitiveness from Ronaldo to Neymar. Who's more competitive?
Clearly Ronaldo.
Exactly. But like, so that depends. That being competitive will take you to the next level.
But it also works on your work ethic and everything as well, you know?
Like the better players tend to be like the most competitive and the hotheads or something.
Yeah.
But that's what I've seen.
Like, I get what you mean. Like, playing free from the game. Like, prime example is Ronaldinho.
Oh, he was
class, like skill.
Love him.
He made me fall in love with the game, but he wasn't the most competitive person.
He was
the hard worker.
Yeah.
He would go party at night and stuff like that. But that's the thing. That's the difference. Who's gonna make you love the game and who's gonna like, how should I say, like, I don't know. Like, I think there's different players that love the game and players that want to become like a part of history. Like example, Ronaldo and Messi.
I feel like you can't be part of history if you don't love the game. Like, why would you continue playing if you don't love the game?
I mean, that's true.
That's why a lot of people retire, because they lost the love. They lost the passion.
That's true.
I think because in pro, like, they teach you, they treat you like robots.
Yeah.
That is true.
That's why I didn't want to. I mean, obviously, I wasn't good enough. But being pro was just like, I don't think I would have done that.
Ever. That's what I'm saying. Like, it also has to do with your mental. Like, no one's going to care more about your mental than you.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to be mentally good to compete. To know that you can make this pass, that you know that you've practiced this so many times. And that's the worst thing too.
Like you base your like your experience.
Okay.
You based on like your experience on not experience. Sorry, you base your I guess what I'm trying to say is your happiness based on your performances, and that's really bad sometimes as well.
Yeah.
Because if you perform bad, then you're gonna be like depressed.
It ruins your whole mood, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
I know people that are like very competitive. I'll be on the phone with them or something, and they're just like low, quiet. I'm just like,
what's I'm kind of like that too sometimes.
It's that's, like, that's I lost the bad game.
Thing about it.
Yeah,
that's the, like you just feel low, you know. There's a player, I forgot his name. He was an Italian player. I forgot his name. This is like back in the 60s or 70s or 80s. I can't remember. De Loggi, I think. I forgot his. I think it's. He's an Italian legend, anyways, and he ended up missing a PK. In the World Cup final, and he said in that very moment he would rather like kill himself than like miss that PK.
That is crazy.
That's how serious they take it.
When you're at that moment, like you literally feel like
you feel horrible.
Your soul is down there, and you're
It's so crazy.
I can't explain that feeling. Oh, you know how it felt like when I missed that shot? It felt like, this is a good way to put it, like I let my childhood self down. Because I was, that was my dream, my dream. And then there would be times like afterwards where I go on the same pitch and I just like I'm like, yo, I can't even play here no more. Have you ever had a moment where you're just like, oh, we lost because of me?
Yeah. Oh my like goodness. That PK earlier. So bad
because like I said, like, okay, yeah, it could be a mistake, but it could also be that you weren't, like I said before, meeting that demand from the team. Like if you're not conditioned to run, draw back, and defend, you're not helping the team. You're bringing the team down. And I think, like I said, that was like my biggest weakness. So there were times where I would be struggling to get back.
Yeah.
And that just brings the team down and it gives more opportunity for the other team. So that itself, yeah. And then the mental part too. Like if you're not taking care of your, you have to be taking care of your mental.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't let anything, like the Bible tells us to guard our heart. You can't be letting these comments get to you. It's going to mess up your game.
So that's those comments are really loud too. But
yeah.
Yeah, 100%. They're very loud. You just got to turn it off.
I think personally, the mental side is bigger than
the game itself. It's so important, mental health, especially like professional athletes. They talk about it all the time. Like, yeah, they may be like physically fit, but if they're not mentally like fit as well, there's no chance.
Yeah.
Not at all. I think a prime example, I can't remember. I know the player who like was talking about it. You know Morata from Atletico? He's a striker for Spain. Yeah. I think he's going to eventually be the top goal scorer for Spain. But he talks about like how mentally, like how draining it is to be a professional athlete and how it affects him, a part of the game. Because if you're not mentally like prepared and mentally like mentally fit, then there's no way like you can perform. Especially with crowds, like 10,000 people in a crowd. I messed up. But yeah, 10,000 people in a crowd, like in a stadium. It's crazy. People are yelling at you. People are booing you. People are whistling at you. It's so loud. I went to a game in Europe. It's actually the Clásico, Real Madrid against Barcelona, and how loud it was, it's unbelievable.
How loud is, like, I've never been to an actual game. How loud was it? Like, if you were to put it on a, I don't know what scale we could do, but how loud?
Let's put, like, 1 through 10, right? I think, like, it's a good, like, 10. That's how loud it is. You hear the whistling, you hear the booing. Like, before you go, like, you're in the bus, and you see, like, the fans, and there's a bunch of fans just, like, ready to, like, rip you off. Because you're an opponent team, you know, you're coming to another stadium, and you know they'll do anything to distract you.
Wasn't there like a player that got shot for scoring? There was a player that got shot for scoring an own goal.
Oh, that was
in Colombia.
Someone getting shot during that's crazy.
Not during the game, but he got shot after when he came back home.
During the game would have been crazy.
Yeah, during the game was a bit crazy.
But after, wow.
No, but that's why like the crowds is something else.
Yeah, crowds are something else, especially in Europe. I hear like how crazy it is in Europe. Like, they will, like, literally fight each other.
Yeah. I mean, I bring that up
I think they're actually called ultras. And, like, the ultras in Europe are so much more different than the ultras here in the U.S. It's so much crazy. You see, like, big banners. They'll, like, have, like, big flags and stuff that really, like, how should I say, throws you off. A prime example is that when Barcelona was playing the Europa League, and they were playing against Frankfurt. I think it's like a German team. But they completely messed up Barcelona because they let a lot more fans come in from Germany than Barcelona players. And there was, I think Xavi was the one who was coaching that game. And he said he felt like he was playing an away game in his home stadium.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so crazy how like the fans are very important.
Yeah.
They're like the 12th player.
I say that like I brought that thing up because like... Not to just bring it up, but, like, it can be scary if you mess up, too, especially at that level.
Oh, my God.
Because people see you in public, bro, you don't know how they're going
to
react.
Man, like, you know, like, high school games? Like, when you go to basketball games, like, nice throw. Like, they completely mess about, like, air ball and stuff like that. Like, it's 10 times worse. They will chew you up.
You got to go back to school on Monday after missing it, like, scoring an own goal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. I've had people bring up when I missed the shot, I don't know what someone did, but he was just like, yo, bro, I remember what happened in that last game. He's like, it's okay, bro.
I know,
you got it.
Man.
I'm just like, I don't need to be reminded.
People would bring up, like, my club team. I know they mean it as a joke, but they always bring up the State Cup, like penalty kick I missed. That's the old Mario I knew when I missed, like, a shot or something. Be like, oh, yeah, that's the Mario I know. I'm like, bruh, and I know what they mean. Like, I mean, I know they're just joking. But I'm just like, man, chill.
Someone in the hall is just like, you were this close. You were this close, and just walking past you.
I'm like, bruh.
Rather not hear about it.
Yeah. I'd be so, like, blown.
That's the thing, that, like, music doesn't work. Not, like, I'm still in the process of learning how to improve my game performance, even though I don't even play soccer like that anymore. But in the future, any game, I'm trying to get better at that. So you've had a lot of experience. You explain, like, how it's like for you, though, where, like, you feel the same way, right? Where you just, like, music doesn't work, nothing works.
Yeah.
How is that for you?
I feel like, yeah, no, I just, nothing worked. Nothing worked, so I just had to go into the game. And I felt like, I felt like I was just there. Like, I would just step on the field, and then I'm like, what's next? What do I do? Like, should I go here? Should I be here? Like, I wasn't playing. Like, I had an idea of what I should have been doing. But, like, that goes all out the window once you're on the field. Because you don't want to mess up. So, I never had something that could, like, take away or help me deal with that nervousness or stress.
I think we're just, it's really internal. Like, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with stress, like, in general? You know, like, what do you do to dig yourself out of that problem, you know? I think I'm very, like, thankfully I'm strong-minded. I was really pushed to be strong and, you know, in bad scenarios. And I think that really helped me during, like, my performance levels, like, when I would have a bad game. And this is what my coach told me. He was like, the reason why I love putting you in is because I know you can make a bad pass, but you'll run right back to get that ball back. And that's what I love about you. That's the reason why I put you in a lot of the game.
Just had a coach like that.
Like, you know, like, crazy, right? Like, that's to have rare. A coach to have that, yeah. To say that to you, it's such a big boost. I remember, too, we were playing against actually, we were playing in summer league, and we were playing against, like over 21s. I mean, I'm still, like, 18, 19. 18, I think I am. And I'm just, like, I'm getting crushed. But he's, like, but, you know, like, don't, like, be down on yourself. The reason why I put you back in is because I know that you're going to give me everything, and I know that you're going to run back for that ball. And you're going to get it. I know you are. That's why I love putting you in. You're not the fastest, that's right, but you're not the most skillful. But your dedication... it's what brings you a long way. I think that's also internal, you know? You have to be dedicated as well to figuring out that problem. What can you do mentally? What can you, you know? I don't know.
Last time I heard a coach say that, I was like 8 years old. I was like 10 years old.
I'm
like,
because it didn't matter. Yeah. Now coaches are...
you got it, man. You can score this, bro. You can score 3 goals.
Yeah.
Get subbed out.
Get subbed out. But
yeah, like...
yeah, poor guy.
As you get older, the coach is just... I mean... every coaching style is different. Every
yeah.
The same goes for, like, parenting, I guess, or friendship. Like, if you're just, like, you want a teammate or a friend or a father that's, like, you know, supportive, but also they're not coddling you. They're not, like, you know, they're not like, oh, good job for every small thing you do.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important.
Like, I think it's also hard, like, when you're, like, you know that you did wrong, and then you hear it again constantly. And, you know, like, you know, I think it make frustrates you more.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially, like, and, like, you know, you're with your parents, and you don't want to let them down. Like, you want to perform, you know. They're paying, like, a lot of money for you just to even be playing travel. Like, my mom was, you know. My mom's a single mom. She put a lot of effort for me. Yeah, single.
Did she go to every game?
No, she didn't go to every game, but she tried when she could. Yeah. My mom was always there. And she always did believe in me. Like, even though she gave me a lot of tough love, she pushed me to become the person I am today as well.
That's really nice.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out my mom.
Shout out my mom.
But, like, so, like, I think also having your parents back, or your parents supporting you and believing you, is such a big boost, too. Believing that you can, like, be, like, a better player as well. Yeah. And my dad, like, would gas me up so much, too. During my youth days, my dad, like, unfortunately passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was okay, like, you know. But what we really shared was playing soccer together. You know, actually going to that Spain trip, he was there with me.
Oh, like the loud...
yeah, the loud crowd and everything.
Yeah.
So, but my dad would always gas me up. He's like, this guy is going to be real good. Like, you say a bunch of other stuff as well in Spanish. I'm not going to say. But he'd be, like, gassing me up and just telling me, like, you know, he's going to be a good player one day. I know it.
That's important to hear.
Yeah, it is important to hear. 100%. And I think that's what really, like, shaped me. The people around me is the people who shaped me to become the person I am today. That's the biggest part, like, as well, growing up with a strong mind. My dad always say, like, in life, you have to be super smart. no matter if, even if you're just playing sports and life in general, you have to be super smart because one small mistake can cost you. And I think I try to live by that as much as I could. And everyone makes mistakes, but we're learning from it and try to be better people.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's pretty
good. That parent aspect, that's huge. Yeah, it can be huge, and it can also be
negative as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, for me, I didn't my parents didn't really come to my games, so I felt like there was less pressure.
That's true.
But at the same time, I would have wanted them to come.
That's the thing, though. It's weird with pressure because for me, I enjoyed it when my dad would come or my mom would come because that feels like for me I have to perform.
Yeah, yeah. That's
the thing. That's what I love when people would come to my game.
Something to play for.
Yeah, something to play for. Like I remember when I was starting to begin playing travel, I would score a lot of goals, but I was playing on the third team. But it doesn't matter, you know. My mom would come to my games. You know, I would go up to her one game. I would go up to her. And I gave her a hug, a video, a heart. Gareth Bell goal where he does the heart. Yeah. Exactly like that. And I would do it to my mom, this goal was for her. So that's why I say pressure is a weird because it depends on how you deal with it. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was younger, it was more like that. And then as I got older, I felt that I had to perform because it kind of shows your work ethic shows it kind of represents how your parents raised you.
100%.
So you feel okay, my dad raised me this way, so there's no reason why I should be just walking the field, being lazy, being a lazy player, not showing up to practice on time. No, my dad raised me.
My dad.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, I mean, my parents 100%. Raised me to be on time. They raised me to work hard, and just doing the complete opposite, I feel like that would be disrespectful.
Oh yeah, 100%. Wow. I think that also implies to life as well. You know. Definitely. Job, you don't want to be lazy. You don't come from a lazy family. You come from a hard-working family, you know? And, yeah, I think it also just implies into life as well.
I see it more in life, but in sports, I never, walk around. I'm just, yeah, I never put those two together.
My dad, oh, my God. My dad, tell you, he would yell at my games. I would get so mad because, he would just yell. And, sometimes I didn't understand what he meant.
Yeah.
But now, as I got older, I'm like, oh, it's finally clicking what he was trying to tell me. And it sucks, it's like that. Oh, yeah. Because, you don't really realize in the moment. You think your dad is just, yelling at you. But, later on in life, you think about it, and you're like, man, my dad was right. My dad was only just trying to make me be a better player. You know? I think you have to also just enjoy whenever you have your parents with you.
Yeah.
It's very important. Spend quality time with your family and your parents.
Yo, you sound like Bebo.
I have a loud swallow.
You know who Bebo is?
Bebo?
Yeah.
Who's Bebo?
He eats he swallows his food. He said
Oh, is that the guy with the big chug?
No.
Oh,
okay. He says junior chicken, big up McDonald's. And then he swallows the whole thing.
Yeah.
He swallows the whole thing. You've never seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Wait, is he the...
He just swallows his food, bro.
Wait, how does he
follow?
He doesn't chew, he just... And then you can see him, he's about to choke.
Like the SpongeBob thing?
Wait, no, I don't know. I was thinking of someone who chugs.
Oh, no.
I was just chugs drinks and stuff.
I know who you're talking, the bald one?
Yeah, the bald one.
Oh, my God. That's what I thought you
were. The dude with the boot?
No, I'm not talking about.
He gets the whole soda can, soda bottles? Yeah,
and he... I'm yo.
No, I'm talking about Bebo, bro. He just swallows his joint, his food is ginger chicken, make up Mackey's. And then he takes a bite and he swallows it. That's what you remind me of right now.
So he doesn't swallow?
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
That's disgusting. But I want to check him out too.
Oh my goodness.
Let me check the questions.
Oh my God. Did we cover most of the questions or is there anything left?
We covered a lot.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of ground.
But I wanted to cover more on just mentally. I know we were speaking about mentally, but the discipline aspect, that Senya on, I'm not speaking English, Senya on this video, hopefully it's going to be linked in here, he was talking about how sports or working out, he applies those aspects in real life.
Oh, and
he said he applies it in finance and he said everything else in life. So have you guys ever applied stuff like that?
Yeah, I definitely have. My coach would always tell me, these disciplinary actions are not just for sports, they're for life as well. You know, my coach showed me a lot of things, not only just, being an athlete and how important it is, but also like mentally, like how important it is to learn these trades and like
thinking about the thing you said earlier.
Yeah, my coach will always be like,
"Yeah." I'm just laughing like the way you're saying it. Like,
you need to put a clip in here.
You gotta shut the clip. And yeah, my coach just showed me a lot of like life traits to apply in life. He'd always say that these are not just skills to learn during the game; these are also skills to learn in life as well. Yeah. And a lot of these skill traits you're gonna learn in life.
I learned a lot of discipline.
Oh, 100%.
That's always like discipline, hard work, time management. I guess that's what I learned. Oh, teammate partnership. You know.
What about leadership?
Leadership.
Do you think you were really a leader up on the field, or in general as like a person?
Not on the teams I played, but I feel like I could be a good leader if I wasn't in teams that were just so toxic where like they just couldn't even hear anything.
Yeah,
I agree on that.
They couldn't even hear someone like on their level.
As much as like we could relate, like as much as how much we were nervous on the field, how much, you know, we struggled like on the mental aspect of the game, I feel like that still strengthens your mentality
for sure. Yeah,
like maybe it's different on the field, but when you come to the real world, it's different. Like, you're not going to take things to heart, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that prepares you for that. The mental side of the game prepares you for the real world.
Definitely, like, also, like, your environment. Like, you know, you don't ever want to be in a toxic environment, no matter, like, whatever you're in. It could be sports. It could be at a job. It could be at a location like a church or something. You always want your environment to be healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be able to communicate one another and understand one another as well. That's what also I learned a lot. Because if you're in the wrong environment or in a toxic environment, man, it's going to be so hard to, like, work in it. You know, like, I can't do it. I need a healthy environment. I need an environment where we can communicate with each other and tell each other how we feel.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I know, back to what you were saying, the best feeling is, like, when you're done with the game that you're so scared for. Like,
the whistle.
The whistle rings, and then you're just done. Like, you go home, the shower.
Yeah.
And then you're just chilling on your bed.
Yep.
Hop on PS4 or something.
Yeah.
Hop on with the boys that you played with.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I remember in middle school, bro, like, I would dread practice. I would dread games. Because my first year playing travel, I think it was in fifth grade, I was playing with middle schoolers. I don't know why. But they would clown me, bro. They would get on my on my butt for everything wrong I did. And also, my voice too, because I was like in fifth grade. My voice still hadn't changed, but they would be. Bro, I would get so mad. I was a squeaker, bro.
But I was a squeaker too, though. Not gonna lie.
I was a squeaker. I would get so mad.
You see, like, my old Instagram? Oh my god, bro! I embarrassed myself, man. I can't even delete it. No, please.
Yeah, what's the username?
I'm not gonna tell you guys. Please don't look for it.
Wait, continue.
I forgot.
They called you squeaker. You're playing with sixth graders, eighth graders.
No, yeah, middle schoolers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what. Why I said that, why I brought that up.
How has that helped you? What was it? Oh, no.
I forgot, man.
Your memory's like mine.
Bro, I feel like I have issues with like my memory.
I swear me too. My mom would be like, do you have like something going on in your head? Like, are you why do you forget things so easily? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know
you
why.
You forgot.
Yeah, I just forgot.
Like, I feel like it's so hard, bro. Like, I remember, they even doing Bible studies, it's hard to remember what I'm about to say. And then it makes me look like I'm unprepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
And then it clicks back, and you're like, bro, I just remember what I was going to say.
In the shower, like, 3 days later, you remember? Is that what you're talking about?
It just goes. Like, I never come back and remember it.
Oh, but, like, so you said, like, something about, like, you know, you would hop on with your friends and stuff and play and stuff?
That's what I said.
Yeah, or that's what you said?
Oh, after the game, you're done, and you feel
good. Oh, yeah, in middle school.
Yes, yes.
Anyways,
so the reason why I would dread, like, practicing games is because I was looking getting bullied, bro, back then. Like, I hated that, bro. And... yeah, which is that. Like, I would not want to go to games. Bro, it would be my teammates, bro.
It would really be your own teammate.
Yeah,
I
bro.
Swear.
That's going to be the cover. It'd really be your own teammate.
Yeah, bro.
So I have a question for you guys. So since you guys stopped playing, like, competitive, like, soccer or football, whatever, do you feel like your mental health is better now from you not playing from it anymore? Like, do you feel like you mentally are...
Bro, I feel like no stress now.
Feel no stress?
I think the most stressful stuff was soccer.
Really? What about
you? School, not anything else, but just soccer. That's where I got my stress from.
Really?
Yeah. I'll be more stressed for soccer than school.
So, like, now, like, you say you're a lot better. Like, you feel mentally better?
Yeah. I don't feel, like, it's so hard for me to get stressed about anything.
That's true.
Like, I just, it is what it is type of mentality.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you?
Me? Now I feel like the guest.
Or do you feel like you still have stress? Not just.
I get stress from other things, mm-hmm. but.
Like compared to the soccer, like how stressful it made you?
I remember being in soccer, it was a toll. It took a toll, like mentally. Definitely. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Definitely, definitely.
Time too. I have a lot more time. I want to go back and pick it up. I think it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Do you miss playing? And like in the.
It's weird to say no. I mean, I like to play. Like if there's a ball right here, we'll play.
Like, but like for like, I guess just like, I guess you don't really miss the competitive.
Did you play like your whole life?
Yeah, or like I think since I was since like competitive 7, 8 years old.
Like I would say like travel, maybe rec was competitive.
I started rec when I was like 10 or 11, and then I haven't played the travel level.
Oh,
but yeah, it's crazy. I feel less stressed though. There, I mean, I haven't noticed anything. There's no stress.
That's true.
Yeah, soccer wasn't really my main stress. For you, it was probably. For me, I was just worried all like about the games.
Dude, because I love soccer so much. And it's just, like, I really wanted, like every kid's dream, I wanted to be pro. But like it was just that mental side. I was not ready for that at all.
Yeah, it takes a toll, definitely. I can't imagine how it is for professional athletes, you know? They're getting paid this much money. And for them to like not perform, it must be like such a dreadful feeling, you know? Can't imagine.
Yeah. There's always that like 10 minutes you have of your life where you're just like, I'm not going pro. I'm not gonna go pro. I think we've all had that.
Yeah, we all definitely.
You're just like, no. Yo.
And that's like a big, like, you have to accept it too.
It's reality. Yeah. It's reality. You have to think about like, okay, that's another reason why I like quit the team, because you know how I would have had more time. Like maybe the highest I could have gone is like, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
College.
I truly don't believe I ever reached my potential. But I think I could have definitely played college.
I think you could have.
Definitely could have found something after that. But it also takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of your mental. Like, if you're playing right now, like, straight out of high school, you still got a lot more years to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's only very few that are selected to play, like, in these professional teams already. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, it has to grind and work hard.
So, literally, I think 1% players play college.
And when you are chosen, you got to keep that.
Yeah. And the crazy part is, I think a 0.01 of those players get elected to play like professional teams.
Oh, my gosh.
So even lower than making it to college. It's so crazy.
It sucks because it's like, I mean, for us, maybe, I don't know. Because there's a lot of good players out there that don't have to like, or truly believe like they have that reality check like you were talking about. They don't think they're going to fail. But then they spend all these years, and then they make it this close, and they fail. Yeah, like that's the hard part.
That is the hard part.
Think about it, like, from what, age 5 to, like, 20, let's say 20, 22 when you get out of college. Mm-hmm. All those years you're playing soccer just to have, like, no more opportunities.
You know
nothing
what's crazy?
Left.
Like, in Europe or, like, in England, for example, I saw a kid, like, it was showing his reaction. So, like, every year, he was, like, at least, like, 14, 15, 16.
Okay.
So they have to get like a scholarship in order to play in academies, and I guess he just wasn't enough for their academy and like kind of like cut him. He's like, you know, you've been great, you've been amazing, you've been with us since we were little, but I honestly, we don't see you a part of our plans for this academy, and you know, they get cut and they lose their scholarship, you know, to play for the academy, and it's so intense that like they're like, I think I saw like a time where a player, academy player, like committed suicide just because. They didn't make the team, yeah. I think it was on a Man City team. I can't remember his name. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was. And I guess he couldn't, like, handle, like, not making it as a professional athlete. It's going down the drain. And yeah, it's hard.
It's the build-up.
It's the reality check, you know, it's really hard. For me, like, I tore my ACL. When I tore it, like, I'm like, damn. Like, this might be for the ending factor of my career to even have anything. Because it's like, you know, coaches think like, oh, you had ACL like injury, you're not going to be as good as you were before.
Yeah. People would say when they get injured on the field, the second they get injured, like, you, how do I say this? You know you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sitting there, you're really looking at your ankle, you're looking at your knee, you're just like, oh, no.
And, like, I think I've had a hard time trying to accept that. Like, I still believe, like, I don't know if I believe, but I still, like, I want to give one last chance, my last desperate chance. I think I'm away a little bit still. I'm trying to recover from ACL. I'm still recovering. My last, like, goal at the end of the day, when I know I'm not going to make it, is I'm going to go back to my home country which is El Salvador, and see if I can make a team there, if it's possible. I think it's worth a try than saying that I never tried.
Yeah.
I think it's better to say that you tried at least instead of saying you never tried, you know? I think I can live with that, knowing that I tried at least. And I think that's something I can live with and accept. And I know it's like, you know, not everyone believes in that or whatever, but that's just, I guess, me, and that's why I'm different from that. I'm not saying I'm going to make it. I mean, in reality, I can just go back. I can go back to my home country and just get denied.
Yeah. I saw your video actually talking about sharing your goals with people. And I agree so much, man. I agree so much with not sharing your goals with people, because you need to protect that.
That's true.
I don't care if, like, okay, people that's might true. Say stuff to your face, but regardless, people are going to form opinions. Mm-hmm. They're going to start doubting. They're going to, you know, because maybe they had the same dream. Maybe
that is, that's
maybe
true.
They envy you. Maybe they can't play anymore for real. You got to be careful with the people you share your goals with.
It is.
Because some people are for you, and then, like you said, some people are not.
That's true.
It's safer to just not tell anyone, in my opinion.
I mean, I recommend, like, I used to be like that too, but I recommend finding
the right
people.
Yeah,
the right people. Yeah.
Yeah, because they will help you. Yeah, they will help you find if you find the right people.
Yeah, I think that's. Do you guys have anything else?
Like and follow, subscribe, please.
That's great. Oh,
yeah. If you got okay, wait. This is the tradition. What is one piece of advice that you want to give out there? It doesn't have to be about sports. It doesn't have to be about anything we talked about. Right now is your chance to say something to people. What is it?
I say, never give up. You know, no matter wherever, whatever situation you're in, keep fighting, because, yeah, you can have one bad day and that's okay, but you must continue pushing forward. The next day you got to pick it up and begin your life. So don't give up. And if you ever need help, there's help.
I say, do everything like it's your last time doing it. Put your 100 into it so you don't have any regrets later on. And yeah, be careful who you listen to, what opinions you take to heart, what advice you take to heart, people you surround yourself with is very important, because it can either build you up or it can break you.
That's good.
Okay, that's pretty good.
What is yours, though?
You can me? It off. Okay. I guess in my case, I have all the time to give them advice. But for sports, focus on, this is going to sound cheesy, focus on becoming better every single day. Every day, you're the only person you compare yourself to is who you were yesterday. That's how you will improve. That's my advice.
That's good.
Yeah, if you guys like this video, make sure you comment, like, subscribe. If you guys like Ben, if you guys like Mario, if you didn't agree with what they said, if you agreed with what they said, comment down below. Let us know. Other than that, I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, yeah. Follow us on Instagram at The Brief Dive. Follow us on Snapchat at The Brief Dive, all caps plus. Email me at TheBriefDive@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to talk about one-on-one. But other than that, I'm going to catch y'all. Peace out.
Peace.